hindrance to answered prayer, or a roadblock to answered prayer, a roadblock or a hindrance to answered prayer. You may be seated. A hindrance or a roadblock to answered prayer. Again, as I return to this series on prayer, after a five week or so break, I must admit, when our Heavenly Father began to impress upon my heart and mind in the latter part of 2019 and early 2020, as the Lord directs me what series to do, I must admit that when the Lord was saying do a series on prayer, ashamedly, I wasn't ecstatic. I wasn't elated. I was like, now, Lord, since I've been at Love Fellowship, we've preached and teached on prayer a lot on Wednesday nights, and I've done a couple of series on prayer, and the Lord kept impressing up on my heart and mind late 19, early 22, to do a series on prayer. And see, of course, God knows. We mentioned it before. God is all-knowing. God knows everything. So God knew, I didn't know, but God knew that we would need, all of us would need to kind of ratchet up our prayer life a little bit, because Corona was on the way. The coronavirus was on the way. God knew that. I didn't know that. God knew that even like just this last week, that East Brainerd would be hit by all these tornadoes. Or even like last night, this family that was affected by the fire on Carousel Street. God knows all those things. So God said, preach a series on prayer. And so I kind of reluctantly began to do that and did that for the first 2 weeks. And then, of course, all these things really started happening. So God led us to preach different series. And, of course, Pastor Bray and Pastor Clint preached for us as well. But everybody prays, right? Everybody knows how to pray. I mean, even the people in false religions, the Buddhists, the Hindu, the Jehovah Witnesses, the Muslims, they pray. Now, of course, their prayers are going to false gods, so their prayers aren't effective. But everybody prays. I mean, the Seventh-day Adventists, they pray. The Catholics, they pray. You and me, the Christians, we pray. So a lot of people praying. A lot of prayers going up, right? But a lot of prayers are not being answered favorably. Now, God always listens to the prayers of his people. He's going to say yes, he's going to say no, he's going to say wait. But my task this morning is to suggest to you why our prayers aren't as effective as they should be. Because I'm talking about roadblocks or hindrance to answered prayer. So a bunch of prayers going up. Everybody praying. Everybody except, of course, the person who said there is no God. And God said, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But everybody else is praying. But yet we don't see a whole lot of stuff happening. And I submit this morning, and I'm going to give it to you in just a few minutes, that there is a serious roadblock, a serious hindrance to your prayers and my prayers being answered. But before I do that, let me do a quick review for a few minutes of the previous two sermons, which, by the way, if you go to our website, www.lovefbfellowshipbaptistfbchurch.org, www.lovefbchurch.org, and just click on menu there. All of our sermons are out there. And so the previous two sermons was, one was how to get a prayer through, and one was prayer for troubling times. So you can kind of catch up if you want to need to get caught up on this series. But I'm going to give you a quick review this morning about prayer, because prayer is so important. Prayer is how we communicate with God. Prayer is how we commune with God. We talk to God. We listen to God through this vehicle called prayer. And it's so important that in Luke 11, the disciples, Luke 11, verse 1, verse 2, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John also taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray. And Jesus began to teach them how to pray in Luke chapter 11. Now, Matthew 6 gives more details, so that's why I'm preaching it out of Matthew 6. But that's basically the same occurrence there. The disciples, obviously, those boys saw Jesus praying. They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. We don't pray like you. Teach us how to pray. And that's who better to learn from? I said, who better to learn from how to pray, than to learn from the master? Learn from the one that we are praying to. You know, Jesus, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you and me. So it's good to learn how to pray from Jesus. I can't think of anyone better. I mean, I'm sure they have seminars. I'm sure they have teachers come in and try to teach you how to pray and all that. And that's good. That's good. But I want to learn from Jesus how to pray. So this morning, we're going to learn a little insight about praying from Jesus. Teach us how to pray, dear Jesus. A good definition of prayer is this. Listen, prayer is communion with God in order to intimately know, love, and worship him. That's the reason to learn how to pray right there. Prayer is communion, communicating. Communing is communion with God in order to intimately know, love, and worship him. Basically, it's getting closer to God. So when you and I come to pray to God, it's not about trying to, you know, get God to do, be our little genie in a bottle, trying to get him to do more stuff for us. No. It's really about you and me trying to get to know God better. You and me trying to get to know Jesus Christ better. It's about communing with God. And so that means when we pray, when I pray, when you pray, don't do all the talking. Let me say that again. If you praying is communion with God, communicate with God. You ever run into somebody, you know, you run into them and you know, you start talking and they do all the talking. You leave that like, that wasn't much of a conversation. That was just a soliloquy. That was a dialogue by them. I was listening. They were doing all the talking. So God probably feels like that with us sometimes. We come to God and we just do all the talking. So praying, saints, is listening to God too. Being silent. There it is. That's a Christian discipline we need to pick up on. Silence. Being silent before God. Laying prostrate before God. Yes, saying some things to God, but just being still before God. Being silent before God. So prayer is about asking God to develop in us more of the mind of Christ. Lord, let me think like Jesus. It's more like what Jesus prayed. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. So really, prayer is more about God bending our will to conform to his will rather than us trying to change his will. No, it's more about us conforming our will to him. Who do you learn that from, Pastor? Well, from Jesus. As he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, we know about this prayer. When Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross for your sins and my sins, and he knew that the sins, my sins and your sins would be on him. He knew that there would be some kind of disconnect, if you will, between he and God. And he said, Father, if there's any way from this cup, your wrath to pass from me, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So in your prayer life and in my prayer life, it's ultimately about bending or conforming my will more so to his will. Because listen, saints, his will is best every time anyway. Let me say that again. His will is best every time anyway. So Lord, I want your will to be done. You know, I mean, it's for your glory and it's going to ultimately be for my good. So as you and I pray, one of the things that you and I ought to pray, here it is. Quick review from the previous two sermons. We start out by looking at this sermon, by this prayer rather. Our Father. That's enough right there. I'm trying not to re-preach that. I'm trying not to re-preach that. But I'm just glad to know that God is my Father. He's my Father. Now, my earthly father was a good father. He was a deacon. He's a Christian man. He's going on to glory now. But I'm glad I still got a Father that's here. My earthly father's gone, but I got a heavenly father who's perfect. So knowing that God is our father removes fear. Knowing that God is our father removes fear. At least it should remove fear. If we know that God is in control of all things and he's my father, that should remove fear. Sister Shana was thinking about it earlier. Knowing that God is my father, it brings peace. It brings joy. It brings comfort just from the mere fact, Andrew, that God is my father. Even during the troubling times of the coronavirus, even during what just happened in East Brainerd with all the damage that's done out there, and three people lost their lives, and many people are displaced, many people lost their homes. Even in just hearing about the fire over on Carousel Street, knowing that God is my father brings me comfort. It brings me some peace. In the midst of some chaotic times and stormy weather, I can have peace in the midst of the fact that God is my Father. He's Abba, Father. He's Daddy, Papa. And knowing that God is our Father just also settles the matter of resources. Knowing that God is our Father, I don't have to worry about it. And all of my needs are going to be met because God is Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. In the midst of, as Deacon Lowe alluded to earlier, in the midst of people losing jobs because of all of what Corona is doing. It was amazing. You know, sometimes one thing bad for one person would be good for another. Give you a quick example. You know, we didn't have electricity for about 4 days, and our youngest daughter, she's trying to finish up her college, her semester, so she needed the juice, she needed electricity. If it was just left up me and my wife, we were toughing it out. Give me some Camels or something, I'd be all right. Build me a fire over in the corner, it was a little cool this week. But so we went on and got a hotel, and the hotel people were just ecstatic. They were just so excited, the workers were. I was just kind of blown away. I was like, that's good, y'all love your job that much, that's good. And I asked them, I said, why are y'all so excited? And this is what they said. True story. This is what they said. This is on Monday. Yeah, this is on Monday. They said, well, you know, because of the virus, most of us have been furloughed. We hadn't been working. Nobody staying at the hotel. But now because of people like me losing power, hey, the hotel was swamped. It was packed out. So they were happy to be there. So one person's, you know, a little rough for one person, it was a blessing for somebody else. So, but knowing that God is our Father settles a matter of resources. God is going to take care of his children. Let me say that one more time very clearly and very slowly. God is going to take care of his children. He takes care of us. Knowing God is our Father should settle the matter of loneliness. You know, knowing that God is our Father should settle the matter of loneliness. In other words, God said, I would never, it was quoted earlier, I think it was Deacon Lowe, I would never leave you nor forsake you. One time Paul was on trial. I love this account. I say it a lot. Paul was on trial and Paul said, everybody just left. He said, nobody stood with me. He said, none stood with me. He said, oh, but the Lord stood with me. He said, Jesus stood with me. I wasn't by myself. The Lord would never leave us nor forsake us. So the fact that God is my Father should settle that issue of loneliness. Even if you're single, even if you're a widow or widower, God is with you. Jesus is with you. Also, fourthly, as I hasten on, this is our kind of review. Knowing God is our Father settles a matter of obedience. At least it should. Settles a matter of obedience. Settles a matter of obedience. See, Jesus said, my sheep hear me. They know my voice. They hear my voice and they follow me and they obey me. So if you really know that God is your Father, that should settle that matter of obedience. Say, okay, God, here I am. I know I'm gonna fall short sometimes. I'm gonna sin sometimes, but my desire is to follow you obediently every day, dear God. Knowing God as our Father should settle the matter of selfishness. He's our Father. He's not just my Father. He's your Father too. He's our Father. He's our Father. He's our Father. And so then this verse goes on. It goes on and says, hallowed be your name. Like I said, this is just kind of a review, recap, bringing us up to where we are today. Hallowed be your name. Be cognizant of the fact that God is your Father. Yes, he's your Father. He's my Father. But this word hallowed means he is to be reverenced. He is to be respected. He is to be treated with a sense of awe. It's kind of like when Moses was approaching God in the burning bush and God said, be careful, Moses, take off your shoes where you are. Where you are, you're standing on holy ground. See, so when I get, and I know some of them not even Christians anyway, but when I'm watching, it's not even sports to watch anymore though, but when I'm watching a game or something, Deacon Hardaway, and they interview somebody, and you know, you're talking to them, well, yeah, you know, I think the big man upstairs. I'm like, who is that? Did they stay in an apartment? Somebody live up above them? Or who are they talking about? The big man upstairs. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. God has a lot of names, but I don't see that one in the Bible. So, you know, you got to reverence God. He ain't just a big man upstairs. He ain't your little buddy down the street. No, no, no. He is God. And yes, he is our Father. Yes, he says, come to me. Yes, but we come with a sense of awe, a sense of reverence, a sense of respect. Because he is God. It's kind of like, who can approach a holy God? Who can approach the holy heel of God? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. So we come, but we come respectfully. We come reverently because he is God. Hallowed be his name. Then verse 10 says, your kingdom come, your will be done. God's will to be done. Father, again, I mentioned that earlier. We need to be praying that God's will would be done. Let me give you a few specific things about God's will to be done. These are just a few things. I have given these to you before as well. You know, one thing, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let's look into heaven. So one thing about God's will is that you and I should be worshiping God 24/7. Worship is a lifestyle, not just something we do on what 11 to about 12:15, 12:20 now. It used to be 11 to 1, but we don't just do that just 11 to about, you know, 12:15, 12:20 or 1 o'clock on Sunday morning. No, worship is it's an everyday lifestyle. I say worship is an everyday lifestyle. So when we talk about God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You and I need to be a people of worship. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship it on your job. Worship in your home. Worship is as you go. Every day is a day to worship and pray. Do you mind? Think about that. We get to worship and praise God. We get to worship and praise Jesus Christ. So that's one thing. One thing is to talk about God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. We should be a people of worship. Another thing, and if this is in any particular order, but this one probably should be first. You and I as Christians, we should be praying that every person on earth, talking about God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that every person on earth be surrendered to Jesus Christ. Meaning us as Christians be surrendered to Christ, follow to him daily, right? But also praying for the lost. You and I should routinely be praying for those who do not know Jesus Christ. Because we know that unfortunately, sadly, if they die without having Jesus as their Lord and Savior, their destination is hell. Their destination is the lake of fire. So one of the things that our will, God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven, we should be praying for the salvation of the lost and praying for, as Christians, you and I walking more obediently. See, it's God's desire that none should perish. It's God's desire that none should go to hell, but all should come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, when he came, he said, this is my mission. I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. Oh, I'm glad he came to seek and to save people like you and me. He said, I came to look for those who were lost. That's my mission. I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. Come here, Zacchaeus. I know you're up in that little tree. You get a little short fella. Come on down. I'm going to come to your house and save you today. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. John 3:16, we know that one very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, I love that, whosoever believes in him shall not perish or shall not go to hell, but shall have everlasting life. Sometimes we close our Bibles and we stop reading our Bibles too soon, because John 3:17 says, for God did not he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world or to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So people that don't know Jesus, they better come to Jesus and get saved now, because he will come back to judge one day. He's going to come back to judge one day. But when he came the first time, he didn't come to judge the world. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came that the world through him might be saved. So as we're talking about God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven, we want worshipers. We need to be worshiping the Lord. We want to pray for people to get saved. We want to pray for Christians, for you and I to be doing more of what you and I should be doing. Another thing, you and I should be praying for righteousness and against wickedness. We should be praying for righteousness and against wickedness. Let me give you some Bible on that. Psalm 68:1. You can write that down and read it later. Psalm 68:1 says this. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. That's a pretty powerful verse. You know, when you read through the Psalms, oftentimes David, you know, sometimes he was praying for God to have mercy. But sometimes David was saying, so like, God, get them. They're acting a fool. Get them. So, you know, I mean, God, that's one of God's attributes. We kind of skip over sometimes. God is a God of love. God is a God of grace and mercy. Yes, he is. God is slow to anger. Yes, he is. But he's also a God of justice and wrath. If you ever get that confused, just look at the cross. You know, when the prophet Isaiah would say things like this, it pleased God to crush Christ, to crush Jesus or to bruise Jesus. That's a God of wrath. That's a God of justice. So as you and I talk about God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven, we should be praying for righteousness, but also praying against wickedness. Praying against wickedness. In Revelation 6:10, write that down and read it later. Revelation 6:10. Says this, these are the saints who had been beheaded and sawed into and been killed during the early days of the tribulation period in Revelation 16. Listen to what they're praying. Revelation 16. And here it is. They cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on earth. In other words, they were in heaven in Revelation 16. They were saying, Lord, and you know, they cut off our heads. They killed us. How long before you take care of them? How long before you judge them? So one of the things that you and I can be praying is praying for righteousness, but also praying against the wicked. Third thing, talking about God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. When you and I pray, pray in faith. Pray in faith. Pray in faith. Pray believing that God will hear and answer our prayer. And I know we're talking about some roadblocks or hindrances to answer prayer. And I'm going to get to that in just a second. But when you and I pray, pray and say, God, I know you can do it. I think we always pray like that, I think. I know you can do it, but I don't know if you're going to do it or not. But we need to pray. Pray, Lord, this is something that's going to honor you. So I'm praying that you do it. Let me give you a good example. We went there several weeks ago, so we won't turn there today. In Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, Peter had been arrested. They had just cut off James' head. And so Peter's in jail. So the people got together to pray. In verses 6 through 16 of Acts chapter 12. Maybe read it again in your spare time. And so they're praying. God, take care of Peter. Protect Peter. James just got his head cut off. Take care of Peter. And then look, y'all know how that goes. We went over that a few weeks ago. I got some Bible readers in the house. And so here it is. God sent an angel. He gets Peter out of jail. Peter goes over to the prayer house where they're praying. Knocks on the door. And a lady came to the door and got so excited she didn't even let him in. And then when she goes back and tell the prayer warrior who are praying for Peter, now picture this, they praying for Peter, praying for God to take care of him. They didn't even believe it. Girl, you done lost your mind. That ain't Peter in jail. So oftentimes, saints, I love how the Bible is just so true, so real. They're praying and they just amazed that God answered their prayer. So when you and I pray, saints, when we're praying as best we know in the will of God and for the ways of God, we need to believe that God's going to answer. Now here's a little simple prayer. Last couple of days, I guess this time of year, you know, they got a little pollen in the air and stuff, and I wear contacts, and I still need readers in there. My eye just getting worse by the day. I think I need readers and everything. But my contacts were bothering me, so I took them out, Sister Sean, and I was cleaning them all, and I did that a couple of times during the day, and they still went right. I said, well, hold on, wait a minute. Let me pray about this. Lord, these contacts, I need to see. I'm trying to study. That was Friday. I'm trying to get my sermon together. I'm trying to study. My eyes, you got the power. I'm gonna do my little part, clean these contacts. And please, Lord, next time I put them in my eyes, let everything be fine. And guess what? By 1 o'clock that Friday afternoon, when I put them back in my eyes, they were fine to that nighttime when I took them out. I'm like, man, I should have prayed that at 10 o'clock in the morning. I should have been praying that earlier. So saints, pray about everything. God, that's not too hard for God. I mean, pray and say, God, I'm praying in faith that you're going to work this out. You're going to work this out. And he worked my contacts out. They did better the rest of the day. Maybe that was just for my illustration in this sermon this morning. I don't know, but I benefited from it Friday. Thank you, Lord. So, saints, once again, when you and I are praying for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, pray that every person on earth surrenders to God. We know that everybody's not going to be saved. We need to be praying that, though. Pray also, saints, pray against, pray for righteousness, but against wickedness. But also as you and I pray in faith. Pray that I believe God is going to answer this prayer. And if he doesn't answer it the way I think he should answer, however way he's going to answer, it's going to be better. It's going to be more glory for him and really ultimately for my good. But when we pray believing that God is going to answer. Psalm 34, that's a series I preached earlier this year. Psalms 34 in verse 4, in verse 6, in verse 17, in verse 19. The psalmist kept saying, I cried out unto the Lord. I cried out to him and he heard me. He answered my cry and delivered me out of all my fears. Delivered me out of all my troubles. Matter of fact, in verse 19, he got so excited. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So God comes through for his people. So when you and I pray, we need to pray, God. We praying in faith. We know that you can do it. We may need to be like that man who had a little, the boy that was demon possessed. He brought him to Jesus. And Jesus said, do you believe I can heal him? Do you believe it? And this is what he said. I'll never forget this statement. The father said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That needs to be our prayer. So Lord, I know you can do it. I believe, but help my unbelief. Yeah, my faith does get a little weak sometimes. I believe, but help my unbelief. And then, of course, verse 11 of Matthew 6 says, Father, give us this day our daily bread. That's meaning asking God to meet all of your needs. Isn't it good to know? I alluded to it earlier, that we have a Father who owns everything. So if your daddy owns everything, I think those some things that you need, he can provide them. Now let me say that again. Y'all missing that. If you serve a God who owns everything, and he does, my little stuff that I need, he can take care of it. If you read on in Matthew 6, we don't have time for that today, but read on in Matthew 6, Jesus talks about how be anxious for nothing. He said, hey, look, check out the birds. Your father, my father in heaven, he's taking care of the birds. He's surely going to take care of you. Look at the lily of the fields. They look better than Solomon in all his splendor. So God is saying he's going to take care of all of our needs. Matter of fact, let me just read Matthew 6, 33 and 34. This ought to help somebody, especially during these coronavirus days and even during in lieu of all what happened over in East Brainerd with the tornadoes. Look, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 6. He says, but seek first. Keep him first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Look to God first. Look to Jesus first. And his righteousness. And then some of these things. All right. Oh, I got a few people reading with me. And then Jesus said, and all these things, meaning he had mentioned earlier, things like your clothing and food, Brother Aaron, all those things that you need. All your needs. He said all your needs. And all these things. Now, he's not saying everything you want. Can't preach it like the prosperity boys. Let me go and preach. I got to preach it truthfully. He's not saying everything that you want, but he's saying all of your needs. He's all of your needs. All of your needs will be added to. Oh, I'm glad to hear that all of my needs. And here I am. The psalmist said, I am young. I know I jumped out of the text, but I'm jumping in another text. I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God takes care of his people. Jesus takes care of his people. This is Jesus trying to teach us this in this thing. He says, therefore, don't even worry about tomorrow. You can plan, yes, but don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient for the day is enough trouble of its own. We got enough trouble going on right today. you know, tomorrow never gets here anyway. Y'all ever figure that out? I'm worrying about this tomorrow. When tomorrow gets here, it's really today. Like, oh, man, tomorrow gets here, or it's today. And Jesus said, today, Brother Jim has enough trouble of his own. Focus on the day. I'm taking care of you. Here it is, saints. So our Father, who owns everything, has obligated himself to take care of us. He's taking care of us. Jesus says, God got us. He got you. He got me. He got us. So when you and I pray, God indeed has us. Now, saints, somebody said, review. That was kind of a long review, but kind of to bring us up to speed. Now let's look at verse 12 of Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. It says, and forgive us our debts. Luke says it more clearly. Luke says, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then jump down to verse 14 and 15. It kind of goes together. Jesus said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not, somebody said, do not. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses or their sins, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So here it is. I'm talking about a hindrance. There are many. Let me just say there are many hindrances to our prayer life, or roadblocks to our prayer life. The main one we're going to deal with this morning is really unconfessed sin or unrepentant sin, unforgiveness. That's the main ones we're looking at this morning. That's not the only ones. But one of the first hindrances to a prayer life person say, well, my prayer is not being answered. Well, oftentimes when I talk to people, one of the first things I try to get at is let me see if they have a relationship with God first. So a hindrance of many people's prayer life, maybe not you, maybe your friend, maybe your neighbor, is they're unsaved. You can be the person that's not a Christian, they can be praying all day long, Lord, I need this job, Lord, I need this. I mean God sometimes in his common grace, sometimes he still acquiesce and might do it, but God is saying, I'm waiting on one prayer. I'm waiting on to hear you say you need me as your Lord and Savior. I mean, use myself as an example. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in the church. And when I went off to college, probably a little part of my mind kind of almost said I was saved, but I really knew I wasn't saved. And I remember I was in college, and I remember praying as a senior in college. This is what I prayed. I said, God, because I wasn't really going to church and stuff. And I was like, God, if you get me a job, if you help me get on out of college, I was in my last semester, and get me a job, I'll start serving you. Now, God is not obligated, if you will, to answer a prayer like that from a person that's a pagan, a person that's lost, a person that's unsaved. I should have been saying, God, save my soul. I'm a wretched sinner. My life is messed up and jacked up. Save me, Lord. Now, if I would have said that sincerely, God would have saved me. But so that prayer, God wasn't really listening to that prayer. But even though, I won't go through all the details, but God, because he was working on me, he was drawing me, God did get me a job. He did. But it wasn't so much because I prayed that prayer. So sometimes people's prayers are not being answered because they're not even Christians. They might be in church. They might be active in church. They might believe they're Christian. So that's just one thing, unsaved. The main thing we're looking at this morning, saints, though, is sin. We're talking about hindrances or roadblocks to answer prayer. Sin, S-I-N, sin. Now, I'm not talking about just any sin, because, you know, all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. We sin regularly. Now, we don't say that boastfully. We say that shamefully. But I'm mainly talking about unconfessed sin. I'm mainly talking about that sin that you know you're doing, but you don't even, you're unrepentant. I'm talking about sin that's shown in Isaiah 59. Write this down and read it later. Isaiah 59, 1 through 4. This is my main text for this, and then we're going to be through in just a few minutes. Isaiah 59, 1 through 4. Listen to this. Talking about a reason or a hindrance or a roadblock to answered prayer. Is unconfessed sin or unforgiveness. Make sure you write that down. Unconfessed sin, unrepentant sin, unforgiveness. Listen to what God says in Isaiah 59, 1 through 4. You might want to even turn. You might want to try to turn there or flip there in your e-device. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. So the problem is not with God. That's what that verse is saying. It's not God. It's not like his hand is too short to save. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. I'm going to just kind of read it first and come back and kind of step through them. But your iniquities, your iniquities, your lawlessness, your sin have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you. Kind of like when Christ was on the cross and Jesus Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was because of your sins and my sins. God, in a sense, had hidden his face from Christ. So this verse 2 says, your sins, because of your sin, God hides his face from you so that he will not hear. Not that he cannot hear, but he will not hear because of your sin. Y'all see that? I'm talking about a hindrance to answer prayer, a roadblock to answer prayer. He said, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, just lie all the time. Your tongue has muttered perversity. Your language is perverse. It's messed up. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They, listen to this, they conceive evil, just think up evil stuff to do, and bring forth iniquity. And the people of God in this text, the overall context, had the audacity to be wondering, why is God not answering our prayers? Well, here it is. Let me go back through it again. This goes for any Christian, any of us can put our name in here. It's because of your sin, my sin have separated us from our God. Not like you lose your salvation, but you lose intimacy. You lose communion with God. Also because of sin, God hides his face from us. God, when we are in sin, saints, God is waiting for us to come and confess that sin. So again, I'm talking about unconfessed sin, because God tells us if we just confess our sin, agree with him that I've sinned, I lied, I did whatever, I confessed my sin before you. He is faithful and just, faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But this is for the person who says, I'm not going to confess my sin. I'm not going to come clean. And so because of that, God says, I will not hear. God said, I will hide my face from you because of your sin. So a hindrance, a roadblock to answer prayer is unconfessed sin, unrepentant sin, just allowing sin to just fester in your life. You're like, I'm going to keep on doing this. I'm going to keep on lying. I'm going to keep on gossiping, keep on doing whatever. But I'm going to be asking God for it. Now God said, wait a minute. I want you to confess your sin. This is kind of a side note. This is a whole sermon for a whole another day. Maybe during a series on marriage or something. Husbands, you and I, if we don't treat our wives right, our prayers will be hindered. The Bible says, live with your wife in an understanding way so that your prayers may not be hindered. So Matthew 6 and 12 again says, forgive us our debts so that we can, as we forgive our debtors. Luke again makes it plain. He says, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. So saints, it's very clear. Jesus has to kind of like, almost like he's teaching us how to pray, right? In verse 12, he talks about forgiving us of our debts, which we can all be parallel, be sin. But then he says, look, some of you all, verse 14 and 15, this is outside the prayer, because see, amen is on verse 13. But outside the prayer, Jesus said, let me circle back, make sure you kind of caught this deal about forgiving others and about this whole sin issue. He said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So again, if you're not forgiving others, if you're harboring sin in your own life or not forgiving others, God basically said, I'm not going to hear what you're saying. I hope that's clear this morning. Look, so a big roadblock. Here it is. This is a serious assignment for all of us this morning. It's not an easy assignment either. To summarize what I just said, a gigantic hindrance, a big roadblock to your prayers not being answered is unforgiveness. Not forgiving others. It is unconfessed sin. Unrepentant sin. And let me deal a little bit more with the unforgiveness. Really, saints, before you or I ask God for anything, as we partition God, you know, there are different types of prayers. You know, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of worship and adoration, prayers where you do ask God to meet your needs, prayers where you do pray for others. But before we begin to ask God for anything, listen to what we need to do. We need to ask God, Father, search my heart. And if you find any unconfessed sin in there, if you find any unforgiveness in there, show me, dear Lord, that I might come clean with you. So search my heart, dear God. Before I ask you to do anything for me or for anyone else, search my heart. Show me if I got unforgiveness in my life, if I got unrepentant sin in my life. Does that make sense? I'm going to give a few examples. There could be more examples. I'm talking about how why your prayer life might not be as effective as it should be, or as effective as the Lord wants it to be. Here it is. That person that maybe you have not forgiven, they may not even be alive. It could be someone who did you wrong in your family. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a sibling. Maybe it was an uncle or aunt. Maybe they verbally abuse you and you still haven't forgiven them. Maybe it happened 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And maybe you still haven't forgiven them, though. You're holding on to that unforgiveness. You know, they maybe say stuff like, you know, you're not going to never amount to nothing anyway. You ain't going to be nothing. So maybe they verbally abuse you. I'm talking about things that you were legitimately wronged. But God is saying, God is telling us to forgive them. Maybe that person, and this is really tough, Maybe they physically abuse you. Maybe they sexually abuse you, which is horrific, which is a sin, which is wrong. But ask God to help you to release them, to release it, to forgive them. Like I said, the person may not even be alive now. Maybe it was from a work situation. Maybe it was an old coworker who dug a ditch for you and you fell in the ditch. I mean, they did you wrong. They did you wrong on your job years ago, and you still haven't forgiven them. Maybe it was someone, maybe it was your boss who the church probably remember me. I tell my little story from time to time from years ago at TVA. Maybe it was a boss who's supposed to give you a promotion, but didn't give you that promotion. So you just upset at them and you just don't forgive them for weeks and months and years and years. You need to forgive them. Maybe it was a relationship that went wrong. Maybe a marriage. Maybe you got divorced and you still have a lot of unforgiveness towards your spouse, your ex-spouse, your ex-husband, ex-wife. There are many examples. But God is saying through this text this morning, he's saying that you and I need to forgive others. And as you or I hold on unforgiveness, God is basically saying, I'm not going to hear your prayer. I'm not going to hear your prayer. Maybe it was something more recent. Maybe something recently. Maybe somebody did you wrong recently. Recently wronged you. And you're like, I'm not going to forgive him. I'm not going to forgive her. No, you don't know what they did to me. Well, the Lord is saying, let me just read it again. For if you forgive men or women, that means men or women, if you forgive them their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their sins, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So God is saying to you and me as a Christian that this forgiveness issue is of utmost importance. Because think about it. We of all Christians, all of us in the world, we have been forgiven much. I said, we have been forgiven much. I mean, God, we were guilty before God. We deserved to be totally separated from God. We deserved hell. But God, being rich in mercy, forgave us, saved us. And now we have a relationship with him. And so he said, hey, model that toward others. Model that toward that person that did you wrong. Now, God gives us wisdom. You know, if a person's still living, you don't have to just keep running around and keep doing you wrong. I mean, you can, but still, forgive them. Forgive them. Or, and I'm closing now, maybe you might be the person that did some wrong. You need to go to God and ask God to forgive you. I did what I did, what I said, where I treated them that was wrong. God, forgive me. And if possible, you know, if the person is still alive, you know, if possible, you need to go and ask that person, hey, forgive me, man, what I said, what I did, where I treated you, whatever. I was wrong. Forgive me. I've asked God to forgive me. And I believe he has forgiven me. And he's told me to come to you and I'm asking you for your forgiveness. You can't make somebody forgive you, but you can at least say, hey, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Again, talking about roadblocks to answer prayer. Let me read Matthew 6, 14 and 15 again. If you forgive men and their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's very clear. As Jesus teaches us how to get a prayer through, how to have a more effective prayer life. Forgiveness is a big part of it. And then if I couple that with Isaiah chapter 59, it says, neither will your Father, neither will your God hear nor answer your prayer. If you got unconfessed sin in your life, unrepentant sin in your life, Isaiah 59 says, it's not like God's ear again is too dull or his arm too short. No, it says your sin, my sin has caused our God to hide his face from us. So maybe, saints, maybe if you hit a period in your life where your prayer life seems very dry, very stale, not getting a prayer through, maybe it might have to do with this unforgiveness issue. It may have to do with an unconfessed or unrepentant sin issue. That would be a good place to start. it would be a good place to start. Because prayer is not easy. Let me say that prayer, it seems like it should be easy, it should be simple, but it's not really easy. And I don't know about your life, my Christian life, my prayer life is kind of up and down. Sometimes I'm like hitting 100. Man, I mean, I'm getting through every time. Then it's like, man, I'm striking out every time. You know, so our prayer life kind of goes through those cycles. So sometimes we have to say, God, why is my prayer life so ineffective now? Why is it so dry? And it could be unforgiveness. It could be unrepentance. It could be some other things too. But it could be some of those. And looking at this text, that's the main thing Jesus is driving at this morning about. Forgive others. You need to forgive others. Because if not, it's going to hinder your prayer life. So here it is again, saints. Simple yet hard homework today. Is there unforgiveness in your heart? Is there unconfessed, unrepentant sin in your life? If so, today, make it right with God. And if possible, make it right with that person. Sometimes, like I said, it may not be possible. Person may not even be alive. Person may not want to feel your phone call. But at first, at least make it right with God. And then if possible, try to make it right with that person. But I'm going to tell you, if you refuse to take steps like this toward trying to improve your prayer life will continue to be ineffective. But if you take that step, if that step is you, you got maybe some unforgiveness you need to deal with, and you release that to the Lord, and you let that go, God will open up all the more his ears to your prayers. He will open up his ears to your prayers. Again, Isaiah 59, it's written in the negative, but you can flip it to the positive. God is saying his arm is not too short. His ear is not too dull, where he can't still hear from you. He still can't reach you and draw you closer to himself. So let's deal with these hindrances, these roadblocks to answered prayer. Because I submit to you, saints, just as I kind of started out, the Lord leading me to do this series on prayer. In my years here on earth, definitely in my Christian life, I definitely think prayer is probably more needed. It's always needed. Don't hear me wrong. It's always needed. But I think as the stuff that we're dealing with just every day of our life now, our prayers, the prayers of the righteous, which the Bible says avail it or accomplish much, the prayers of the righteous, our prayers are needed more so today than ever before. At least in my Christian life, that I can, if I were to write a little paper on it or something, I would say our prayers are needed all the more today. Not just even just for us, but for others as well. So let us have an effective prayer life. So perhaps in this message today, maybe you have a couple of things I mentioned. The reason your prayer might be ineffective is because of sin, because you are a sinner, you haven't given your life to Christ. You can give your life to Christ right where you are, right there watching the television. You can give your life to Christ right there watching on your phone. You can give your life to Christ. I was in my roommate's bathroom looking in the mirror when I gave my life to Christ. I said, God, change me. That's what I said. Three words. I said, God, change me. And God saved me back in August of 92. If you need to contact us, you can contact us at pastor@lovefbchurch.org. Pastor@lovefb, as in Fellowship Baptist Church.org, or admin@lovefbchurch.org, or also you can go to our website www.lovefbchurch.org. Of course, you probably maybe watching us on YouTube, Love Fellowship Baptist Church Chattanooga on YouTube, or of course you can go old school. You can write us. Love Fellowship Baptist Church, Deacon Logay, the P.O. Box earlier. I'll give it to you again. Love Fellowship Baptist Church, P.O. Box 21366. P.O. Box 21366. Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37424. Or you can call us. Area code 423-622-4479. There are normally people here from Tuesday through Friday most days, but if you don't get us, leave us a detailed message, and we'll be sure to get back with you. But God bless you. I want to pray that you have a a vibrant prayer life, that you indeed get a prayer through, that if there have been roadblocks or hindrances in your prayer life, if it is unforgiveness or unrepented or unconfessed sin, deal with it today, that you might all the more be heard by God and commune with him fervently. Let us pray.